And in the preda of Shmini Atzeres, the reason why it started is because Hashem says, Kasha Elai Predastam, it's hard for me to separate. It's hard for me to make myself distant from you. I can't think of a better word that really describes my relationship to the Koel, specifically to the Rosh Koel, to Rav Brill, but to the Olam as well, the people who have been here previously, for those who are not here, for those who are currently here, those in Mirz Hashem, if they so choose to decide to come. It's been a very enriching experience. When I first came to the Koel, I was like, okay, it's going to be interesting, it'll be fun, it'll be nice, you know, something to do, Baruch Hashem, something to be involved in, Torah to be involved in, and I couldn't have known how much more enriching it could have been. It was an unbelievable experience. I look past in my relationship with the Rosh Koel specifically, with extreme, extreme chavivus, extreme, extreme love, and I really, really hope that everybody figures out some way to maintain a relationship with me. I hope, obviously, it goes, you know, as they say, dut stadi, it's a reciprocal and mutual relationship, and I really hope to be able to make myself as much as available as possible to maintain these relationships. The worst comes to worst, you come to Orlando, you have a vacation. You can come also, because Baruch Hashem, we're going to make Orlando into a Makom Torah. That's the Kirzak. We're going to make Orlando Makom Torah. Right now, it's, you know, it's Mickey Mouse and all the shtiyot. It's going to be the Makom Torah of Azoy. Azoy. you never know who's underneath there. Okay. So, yeah, listen, one of the reasons as to why it was really a very difficult move, but nonetheless a very justified move, is because my wife and I have always lived with this ethos, with this muster in our lives, which is that we want to make an impact on Klal Yisrael. And sometimes it manifests in Eretz Yisrael, in your corner, in what you do. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends you messages and pulls you out of it and says, no, this is not where you need to be. You need to be in other places. As the Rosh Koel had made reference to, the Pasuk says by the Mishkan, Api Hashem Yisrael, Api Hashem Yachanu. We have to make ourselves the types of people that are willing and able to move to where HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us. How that manifests, as Daniel said beautifully, it could be that it's you're going out and you're doing kibbutz and that, or it could mean that, as you said, you're bringing people in towards it. I hope to be the type of person that is able to accomplish that. And I really believe that my relationship with the Koel has really, really strengthened me to become the type of person that is able to go forward to know how to be able to bring people in. I've learned a tremendous amount of how to run a Koel from Rebbe Rabin. I've learned a tremendous amount of the do's and the don'ts, not from Rebbe Rabin, but from myself, from my own. And therefore, I ask at a public level, I ask Mechila from everybody here, if I've not related to you in the best way possible, if I'm not treating you in the best way possible, it's only coming out of pure love. Sometimes love can be a little bit scary, but love is coming from a place of deep desire to see everyone growing together. And sometimes it manifests well, sometimes it doesn't, but always I want you to know there's a deep, absolute love, a reservoir of love that I have towards everybody here in the Koel.
So I'll give Rebbe the mechila if he
decides to stay. Very good. So then I'll give the mechila if you give me $50,000. Okay, here we go. That's the reciprocal relationship I'm not looking for. Anyway, here we go. Okay. So we have in Parshas Devarim, just to begin, in Parshas Devarim, of course, talking about the predas of all predas, right? I would never compare myself, chas v'shalom, to Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu is giving his preda to Am Yisrael. And we know, actually, we learned from Rashi, it's very interesting. You know, now that I've announced that I'm leaving, I've gotten so many comments that, you know, like people, why? Because this is like people that never spoke to me for 15 years, all of a sudden, oh, now they're talking to me, right? Because they know there's an expiration date on how long I'm going to be around. So it's like a relationship that you can, you know, in a sense, dabble into, but not have to be invested in. That's at least my reading on the, but what's Makar L'Chayr? The Makar is L'Chayr from Moshe Rabbeinu himself, because the end of the Parsha, beginning of the Parsha, he gives Musar to the Eden. But he says, why? Why is he choosing this specific time period? Because why? Because you don't have to embarrass people, God forbid, in order to give Musar to Am Yisrael, to give Musar and they'd be around, it would be uncomfortable. But this is his last day, in essence, you know. This is his last day. So he's hopping around to make sure to leave them with messages and things which are actually useful for them towards the future. So in Moshe Rabbeinu's big speech, I really hope you're going to be okay. Yeah, in Moshe Rabbeinu's big speech, Moshe alludes to the sins of the Meraglim, right? Directly, indirectly, is giving Musar to Am Yisrael. Within this remez, if you take a look at the pasuk, im yira ish ba'anoshim ha'ele hador hara hazeh, is ha'aretz ha'toyva asher nishbati laseis la'aviseichem. Zulosi kolei ben yafune, hu yirenu ve'loi etin is ha'aretz asher dorach ba, ulavonov yan asher milei achrei Hashem. He's referring specifically to the Meraglim. The Meraglim sinned by speaking lashon hara against Eretz Yisrael, which then caused the nation to be very deeply scared and feared. Ba'oiso ha'layla yivchul, right? They had b'chia shel chinom. So then he says that that nation was a dor hara, that was a cursed nation, that was a cursed door that was not able to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. In the middle of that context, and speaking about the Meraglim, comes Moshe Rabbeinu and says, V'gam hisanif bi Hashem b'glalchem le'mar gam ata lo'sev Hashem. You also shall not enter the land of Eretz Yisrael. So interesting. Within the context of speaking about the Meraglim, Moshe Rabbeinu also mentions the what? The mice of the Mei Meriva. So interesting, just the pasuk, just understanding the words of the pasuk. Gam bi hisanif Hashem. God became angry with me as well. B'glalchem. It's a very interesting lashon that Moshe Rabbeinu is using. Because of you. You know, generally, when you meet great leaders, you're not necessarily, you don't hear them blaming other people. What makes a great leader is someone who's able to take personal responsibility. That's the marker of a mature individual. But it's also the marker of a strong leader. A manig is someone who's not, who says, it's your fault, and it's the other's fault, and this is fault. That's not the lashon how a leader should speak. The chayre seems to be, again, bashkafer yishayna, initial, when you look at it, seems to be a little bit difficult to understand how Moshe Rabbeinu could even speak in these terminologies and speak in these terms. Because of you, I can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Last time I checked, it wasn't because of Am Yisrael, it was because why? Because he hit the rock instead of speaking to the rock. Seems a little bit shpeir. What we heard to me is that the Mefarshim have a very interesting shayla. They say, why is he mixing it in together with the actual Maisa of Meraglim? Like the Ramban asked the kasha, a lot of Rishonim asked the questions. He's speaking about the Meraglim, and all of a sudden he says, and because of you, I also can't go to Eretz Yisrael because of the Mei Meriva. Two separate instances. One has nothing to do with the other. So why is Moshe Rabbeinu Echad, number one, speaking in such terminology as if it's your fault and the reason I can't go to Israel is because of you, which again seems to be moving Achrayus off of himself and not to someone else, which doesn't seem to pass, doesn't seem to fit with a leader like Moshe Rabbeinu. And then another question we're asking is, why is he mixing it in together with a completely different Maisa? The Maisa of the Meraglim, the Chora, the two things have nothing to do with the other. So from this, you can learn out a really tremendous yisoy. And it's yisoy number one, which should help us go through Tisha B'Av, but it's, I think it's a principle for life. And Rish Hashem, I hope for our day-to-day lives, myself included. Jews are not disparate from each other. What does that mean? Jews are not disconnected. Everything in this world is not disconnected. Everything in this world is interconnected. Everything in this world is interconnected. There's nothing that lives in a vacuum. What I do in the morning affects what Yanim does across the river. You know, Lahavdil, but it's in science actually. Did you know there's something called the butterfly effect? Everybody heard of this before? The butterfly effect.
Yeah.
There's a philosopher. His name is, I wrote it down, his name is Edward Lorenz. He was a very famous mathematician. He said, big insight. He says, the flapping of the butterfly affects tornadoes in like Houston, Texas. Down in like Brazil affects the weather patterns up in America. Why does it make any sense? This is why, because the truth is, since everything is so tightly connected to each other, a little bit of a movement here affects everything down over there. Right? You have it also going back to the 1800s. There was a very famous philosopher also said his name was Gottlieb Licht. Oh, sorry, I apologize, Gottlieb Fichte. He was a German philosopher. He said you cannot remove a single grain of sand from the beach without changing the entire immeasurable whole. Because you turn one little part over here, it affects everything down there. Kiadua, we know. Rabbi Sol Salanter famously said that when us in Vilna and Lithuania and Kovna and Slabodka, that we're keeping Torah properly, it helps Jews and it affects Jews how they keep Shemir Shabbos in Berlin. Because why? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zelazeh. It's not just a halachic element. It's built into the very fabric of our spiritual existence that the way and how I act and how I interact and how I treat other people and how I treat myself affects the animal across the street. And even more than that, across the other side of the globe. Efshad Kevin Zagin, that Moshe Rabbeinu Chas Hashem was not moving Achrayas off of himself. Instead, he's leaving one of the most powerful messages that a person could take before he passes away, before Am Yisrael is about to go into Eretz Yisrael, which is a big Yisoy. That Adarabba, the very fact that it was even Shayach the Meraglim is what allowed it also to be the memory of itself. It's a big Yisoy. Because since there already was chait in the world, the chait, in a sense, affects everybody, even the greatest of all the leaders, Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Therefore, he says, "Gam bihisanef Hashem biglalchem." You have to understand the power and the koyach that a yid has, that the nation of Am Yisrael has, that when you do an avera, God forbid, it's going to affect everybody around you, even Moshe Rabbeinu himself. What allowed Moshe Rabbeinu, in a sense, to be toye, to the extent that we can even call it a toye, is we don't speak in Moshe Rabbeinu in those terms. But to the extent that he's saying that Hashem became angry at me, he's saying it only was Shaykh because you slipped up. And a person has to know that when you slip up, you're affecting thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and millions of neshamas. It's really scary, right? Right? Asaf is saying, yeah, 100%. Nasa Meir says, whoa, don't overburden me with that sense of impact. It's too much. It's rhetorical, right? So it's too much. But I would say, Adarabba, Mida Toiva Meruba, Chazal has a very general yisoid, which is generally if something is true in the din sense, in the judgment sense, then Mida Toiva Meruba, when it comes to the positive manifestation of it, it's three times more. So much more. What does that mean? A Yid has to understand that as much as Chet and Avera, Chas Hashem, could be Pageya and could tremendously cause damage to the world, then you have the opposite too as well. When I do a mitzvah, every little mitzvah that I do, every little tiny zach that I do, every little tikkun amidas that I have in this world, the tremendous impact and the tremendous positivity it could have on the rest of the world. Adarabba. It's an empowering message. You just have to hear it properly. You have to know how the right ears to hear it. Yes, it can be something which just pulls you down and says, oh, I can't believe I messed this up and I affected that and this kid. And you can get in dark places too. It's because of me, this kid, God forbid, wasn't it? You can speak it all, and believe me, you see the Pashka Vilim in the streets, right? Because of this issue, that Avera, and maybe it's true. I'm not arguing it's not true. But the element, the positive element, is that if you have the opportunity, the empowering element, if you have the opportunity to work on something, you have an opportunity to mamash to change the world. Even the small little things, even the small little impact that we do, can mamash be misakin the whole world. And that, in a sense, is what we're trying to do. We're trying to misakin oilam b'melchus shokai. We're trying to change the world to a more healthy, positive, and better place. How do we do this? Start small. Start small. Love another yid a little bit more. Try to see a yid in another positive light. Try to see a yid in a better direction. This is the yisur that mamash can help us through for Tisha B'Av. Pasha, if you walk in and you're hungry and you're tired and you're frustrated and you set up and you came to show much earlier and you set up your chair, and what happens? A guy came in and took your spot. How many times does that happen every year? Believe me, it happens every single year. Yitzchak, it looks like it already happened to you, it sounds like, just today, right? You can see it so fresh in your mind. If a person can get to a place and realize that, you know what, it's nacha tzar, it's a tzar from tzar d'shchinta, it's a tzar that can be soivel, but if I can get over this, because the entire purpose of this day, and by the way, for the entire year, is to get to a place of avas Hashem, is to get to a place where that avas Hashem then is medaldel, then goes towards our love of Yenim, our love of a fellow Jew, even for a little bit, even if it's really anger is, oh, believe me, I see that frustration on Yitzchak's face. Believe me, anger, frustration. But if you can get to a place and say, you know what, lemaisa ichin fargin, I can let go, I can let up a little bit, not a big deal, I can find a different seat, I'll sit somewhere else for a couple hours. We're all sitting on the floor anyway. And by the way, if you can take into account, this is just specific to this particular episode, if you can say, this is must be what the Shekhinah feels like, getting moved from its place. Can you imagine? If I get moved out of my place, can you imagine how much the Shekhinah feels? And to be Matsarif, our Tsar, to that Tsar itself, to the greater Tsar. Believe me, this is like an opportunity, and it can even be for 5 minutes. That may get you a little bit calm for 5 minutes, and it may come right back. But in those 5 minutes, you're mamash mesakin oilam b'malchus shokai. You are mesakin the world. How do you do it? That's the challenge. Let it affect you, though. Don't throw away the small thing. Don't throw away the small avodah. This is something that I really, really believe can very, very strongly help another yid. Again, it dovetails very back to what Daniel was saying, you said before. Some kiruv, you run out there, you get into the fire. Unfortunately, sometimes you run into the fire, you can burn yourself. And there's another avodah of kiruv, which is bringing people into you, bringing people into the base medrash, into the klaisli base medrash, and to see the beauty of the Torah and also the shmir of the Torah along with it as well. Through that process, understand that, oh, what do you mean? I didn't start that movement. I didn't start this organization. All these big things. No, even a little bit. The shtickle gemara that you learn, the Torah that you learn. It's an opportunity to really think about it. Appreciating the small things. Because from the small things, the ripple effect, how it starts small, it can start so big. Mir Hashem Yisbarach, we should be zoich to the Gula Shleima. And Mir Hashem Yisbarach, I shouldn't have to go to Orlando. I have 2 more weeks. Please, guys, daven. I'm asking you. Okay, I'm not going to, I'm davening too, but it's a group effort. A guten Shabbos Kodesh. Go ahead.